Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to talk a little bit about the technical privacy of our world. Of course, I have my whole channel switched to Linux, where we talk about the importance of privacy and being cautious about the data we're giving out. And of course, the biggest argument people say against that is, I have nothing to hide. And the reality is, as a Christian, we do, especially if we are living our Christian life as the scripture dictates, not being a soft, comfortable Christian who shows up at church and then just lives their life like a participant in culture, which is not a person that I believe is actually going to be saved in the end. That is a lukewarm person who God shall spew you out of his mouth. But as we talk about the elements of Christianity, we have to be cautious because our world is becoming deeply persecutory towards Christians. And the reality is persecution strengthens the church. So that's the good news. But at the same time, we don't give everything up and just walk blindly on into the world, be like, I'm a Christian, come get me, and call that your persecution. And I went through the book of Acts as the church was first being founded and looked at several different use cases where people would respond in certain ways. So I want to talk about that. But before we do, I want to mention that the reality is, in the West, in America, Christianity is falling under deep persecution. Now, it's one thing when there's sin in the culture, and there's always been sin in the culture. It's one thing when you have sin in the culture, and the problem is then the people do some form of crime, and they get prosecuted for their crime, and they go to jail. That's not necessarily a bad thing in culture. Unfortunately, people are trying to think that if you prosecute anybody, then that's a problem. In fact, there's a case out that we'll be talking about in our weekly news roundup on the Switch to Linux channel. Actually, we'll have talked about it by the time this video is out, where they want to reduce the prison sentences of people by using AI to inject memories of being the victim of the crime into the criminals so that they can experience what it's like and they won't have to go to jail. Totally weird. Totally weird. But the reality is, Christians who stand for what is in the Bible are persecuted. That is a reality. Again, a person who just simply shows up to church, they do their time, but they don't stand up, they don't speak up, they don't walk the Christian life, they generally don't know it's in the Bible. That's a person that, first and foremost, the Bible says you may not be saved. But at the other end of the coin, that's a person that society looks at them and says, well, they can have their little religion in their little spot, but we don't really care because they don't interfere with the things that we do. Unfortunately, America right now in the current incarnation is a place where people who are living out their Christian faith are being prosecuted to the maximum amount allowed by the law, and laws are being passed to criminalize things that are clear teachings of the scripture. Meanwhile, people who are actually committing atrocities, actual violent crimes against people, are simply being let out free. They're like dropping all the charges, give you a warning, and then you don't ever do anything about them. Well, that's a sign that our culture is about to collapse, not just under the weight of its own society, but that is exactly the type of circumstances that happens when God himself is about to judge a nation. When the nation's authority structure pushes sin and prosecutes godliness, that is a nation God is about to judge. And if we are not in the end times revelation-wise, we are certainly in the end times of this culture. We are collapsing under our own decadence. So I looked at a couple of situations. We had the Paula Haro case, and I spent a little bit of time reading about this case today. Now, I saw the Facebook feed where they were singing in praises and hymns at the abortion clinic. Now, they were allegedly prosecuted for blocking the way. I saw the videos of them singing hymns. I did not see any videos or evidence of them actually blocking and blockading the way in. Now, blockading the way into an abortion clinic should not be a federal crime, but it is under the FACE Act, signed into law by Bill Clinton. But nevertheless, we have a 78, I think, year-old woman in very poor health who was just sentenced to 2 years in federal prison for blockading an abortion clinic. We have Rebecca Lorenz. She was the grandmother who walked into the Capitol on January 6th and simply prayed. No evidence of doing anything. In fact, she walked by several police officers who were just, come on in, come on in, come on in. They sentenced her to 2 years in jail. Meanwhile, again, people who are in the country illegally killing folks, they generally are letting them go. You think about the four migrants who were illegal immigrants. They beat up a police officer in New York City, and they just, see you later, come back for your court hearing next year. And they, you know, just got on a bus and skedaddled on out. That's the type of stuff that is happening. Think of Shane and Jennifer DeGrasse, which is a couple in Washington State. They were a foster family with years, over a decade of experience as foster family. They only worked generally with infants and toddlers, and Washington State chose not to renew their foster license for the simple reason that they refused to sign off on the LGBT agenda in Washington State. Otherwise, very good people, because they said, we are believers and we don't believe that. And frankly, all the kids they're working with in the state, they can't even talk yet. So, you know, they're not exactly out there affirming their alternate gender. But this is the type of persecution we're seeing, and there's dozens of other cases like this. You know, we move up into Canada, and several pastors were arrested for having church services during the coup. And these raised a lot of serious issues. And so the question becomes is, how do we respond in the Christian world? How do we respond under the persecutory times that we are in? Do we just be like, well, we got to be completely quiet and never say anything? No, that's the wrong answer. We are commanded to proclaim the gospel. But we also don't walk in and go, oh, it's illegal now. I got to stop, or I got to go turn myself in. Okay, so I looked at three different things, two basic principles and three different actions from the scriptures. Number one, we do not shut up. And number two, we do not surrender. Now, with this, this is exactly why I like focusing on the technical privacy. This phone is Graphene OS. There is not a single connection to Google or any other big tech company to it. All of the software running on this phone is completely open source, and none of it connects to the internet outside of times I want it to. And there's a lot of other privacy layers, which means I'm not going to cop in some geofence warrant. Somebody could subpoena the location of the phone number, but the vast majority of where people are identified for their preferences and whatever else, that's not done based on triangulating cell towers. Triangulating cell towers gives the authorities very little information. What does is all of the apps that you are using, which have big ties to all these companies. They feed all sorts of your data, including your contact lists, the websites you visit, all the different things. They feed all this back into big databases, which are shared between all of the other companies. And so once you use one of those apps, you're effectively in all of these databases. Insurance companies use that data to predict your driving habits, because they have GPS location data and other information. They can use that to determine where you're at and how fast you're driving, and things off of the phone's gyroscope. They can use this to raise or lower your rates as they see fit, usually raise, of course. So these are all factors that move into these principles. Well, the problem is that the current regime is making it illegal to actually live out your life as a Christian. And so we have to be more cautious about that, so we do indeed have something to hide. Now, here are three basic premises. Number one is, you can fight with the legal system. Now, we have a country where our legal system allows us to bring challenges to the government overreach. So, you know, it was a little bit different when the Gospels were written and whatnot, but at the time we live in and the country we live in, we are allowed to bring legal challenges. We see Paul doing this in Acts 22, 25 through 29. They stretched him out. So to set this up, of course, the Jews wanted to basically tear Paul limb for limb, and they wanted him arrested. The Romans come in like, what's going on? Let's stop the feud. And then they shackle him all up, and they're about to beat him. Now, that's lawful for them to do to a Jew. That's not lawful them to do to anybody who is a Roman citizen. So if you're a Jew and a Roman citizen, you can't do it. If you're just a Jew of Israel, you can, because they're not intrinsically Jews by nature. And so Paul jumps out and says to the gentleman, he says, when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. And the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes. The commander answered, I acquired my citizenship with a large sum of money. And Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen. Therefore, those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found he was a Roman and because he had put him in chains. But on the, I think that's where we're stopping. Yeah, we're going to stop there. So we see that Paul makes an appeal to the legal process. Roman citizens had more rights than did a basic Jew from Israel who was not a Roman citizen. And Paul had an element of his life that caused him to be a Roman citizen by being born in a particular city, which was a Roman city, which was not Jerusalem or some of the other places that were distinctly Israeli. And so Paul uses the legal system, and so that is something we should be doing in our life, is utilizing the legal system. Now, the next thing we have to do is run. If you know persecution is coming, run. If they're coming to arrest you because you are a believer, I don't know. I have to think about this one. If they got an actual warrant, I don't know. What do you do? If they're simply investigating you and they don't have any evidence yet, hide as much evidence as possible. That's what I'm saying here. So from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. That is Stephen. And this is Saul, Paul, before he became saved. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lamentation over him, but Paul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women, and he would put them into prison. So the people, verse 4, therefore those who had scattered went about preaching the word. Okay, so in this, the people didn't say, well, I guess they're coming for us. Let's just turn ourselves into Paul and go before the council. No, they scattered. They ran. They knew it was coming and they took off. That is why we have to take extra caution to make certain that the things that we are doing, which are gospel things that we are doing, are not being fed into this system where the system itself is hostile towards us. Now, there is another instance of this, but this is a really long section, so we're not going to read that. This is Acts 23, 12 through 24. There is a conspiracy to kill Paul, so he is in prison, and they want they're basically, the Romans are holding trials, and they're telling the Jews, come to the court and present your cases. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get Paul sent down to Jerusalem to stand trial down there. And they're going to be appealing with the governor down there. Say, oh, just send him on down there. And their plot is to kill him in transit. So Paul learns about this plot and he ends up getting word to the commander. Well, the commander knows they're plotting to kill a Roman citizen rather than stand trial before him. Sounds like today, right? And so the centurion goes ahead and puts together an entire guard. So these guys are not going to fight against an entire Roman guard. They take an entire Roman guard, deliver him safely into another city to say, hey, these guys were plotting to kill this man, so I brought him to you. They delivered up to the next highest level. I think this is where they sent him up to Felix, I think, if I remember correctly. And so we see another instance where Paul hears about something. He doesn't just be like, well, I guess I'll accept my faith. But he is going to actually, run from the circumstance. Now, there are times we must temper this. And that's actually more attached to point 3 here. But we have to temper these things because there are times God calls us to do something which is explicitly against the law that will lead to our arrest for doing gospel things. There's times we are supposed to do that, and that would be a form of civil disobedience, which is a long tradition in America as well, of course. But point number 3 is you want to avoid the things that will explicitly get you caught for the purpose of getting you caught. Okay, it's not persecution if you're picked up because you're speeding. It is persecution if they track you down because you're a Christian and throw you in jail because of that. That is what the principle. And for this scripture, I looked at this interesting little part and the parting words in Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:14 and 15. He says, says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds, but be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposes our teaching. So he is explicitly saying, hey, this one particular person is going to persecute us for our teaching, so it's probably better to avoid him, you know, unless God specifically says, kind of like Saul himself was out there doing harm to the Christians. It wasn't until God directly told Ananias, you must go and pray for Paul because I have chosen him. You know, if Timothy is told by God, go and preach to Alexander the coppersmith, yeah, what God tells Timothy trumps what Paul tells Timothy. But in this case here, unless there's a direct, clear call from God, avoid situations where you know are going to get you in trouble. Unless, again, you have that specific call from God. So ultimately, the point of this is take steps to protect yourself, but never stop preaching the gospel or doing good deeds. Those are imperative for us to maintain no matter what happens. And so those are those ultimate principles we have to keep in mind. So with that, the whole idea here, the reason I wanted to focus on that privacy is because all of these internet-connected devices that we use, they spy on us on a regular basis. Even the two big popular Bible apps are so full of trackers, I would not recommend anybody use them. They are so full of trackers that feed the same data right on back to the same organizations, and that data is used against you, whether it's to hand over your data to an insurance company to charge you more money, or whether it's to be caught up inside of some warrant somewhere, or a bunch of other stuff. Do not use those two big popular Bible apps. Use alternative software. I use And Bible on the Android phones, which is a completely free and open source, only goes on the internet if you explicitly tell it to. There's other applications out there as well, so you should look into all of those as other options. So with that, take those extra steps, but do not stop preaching the gospel, and do not cease from doing good deeds, as that is our imperative command as believers of God. With that, thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.